Thought I was doing Northeast Report for a minute there. Hey, it's Vox Pop. It's 2 o'clock. It's the 15th of October. I'm Ray Graff. Little discombobulated. Not sure if I was doing a show or whether the news was on. You know what? We're going to do a show about computers today, and boy, it's going to be fun. Tony Yang is back to answer your questions about computer and tech. So if you're having a problem with a firewall or connecting to the internet, and those two could be connected, give us a call. 800-348-2551. It's Tony Yang today, Computers and Technology. 800-348-2551. To reiterate, this is not Northeast Report. This is Vox Pop. It's a call-in show. We welcome your questions. You can email as well, voxpop@wamc.org. Back after the news. You know, I like this whole rock and roll Ray Graff business here. I think I'll just play Big Bopper Records here for the hour, and we won't even do a call-in show. Hey, Tony Yang is here, and I would never do that to Tony. He gave up an hour out of his day at Gig Computers. Tony started Gig in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. It started as a hobby in college. It blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. He manages networks for many companies and organizations, including this one. If you have a computer or tech question, give Tony a try. Maybe he'll fail, but quite possibly he'll succeed. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Tony Yang, how you doing, buddy?
All right. I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for inviting me back again. Always a pleasure to be here.
You know, Josh Landis is calling me Rock and Roll Ray. Do you like the rock and roll? What do you listen to? What do you listen to?
I'm a 90s kid, you know.
Oh, so 90s.
Oh. Yeah. Huh. The 80s and 90s music, Ray. You got it. I mean, those were good times.
I guess. I don't know. By then, I'm stuck in the 70s.
You're stuck in the 70s.
Yeah, that's right. The number here is 800-348-2551. So Windows 10, now they're not supporting it anymore?
They are not supporting it anymore. So if you're still running Windows 10.
Which I am.
Yeah, time to upgrade.
I love Windows 10.
I know. It's one of the best operating systems that Microsoft has produced, and it's been great.
I got to be honest. I love Windows 98, too. I mean, that was very solid.
Yeah, the stuff between, 7 was good.
Yeah.
7 was good, but all the other stuff between 98 and Windows 11 now.
So do you like Windows 11?
Not good.
No?
I like Windows 11. I've been using it for a while, so I'm used to the new look of Windows 11.
Yeah.
But it's a big change from Windows 10, that legacy interface, to Windows 11.
Give me an example. I guess I have it on my computer here in the office. You guys upgraded everything.
For me, it looks a lot more cartoony.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't have that enterprise corporate look to it anymore.
Yeah.
It feels like where they're going with this is they're trying to combine the gaming platform and desktop work platform together and try to meet you somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. I have to deal with it every day, so we're used to it.
It seems to be running okay here at my desk.
Yes.
I mean, it's not... I haven't had to call in tech support or have any of you guys come down.
It's actually one of the few times where that initial release of Windows 11, you know how Windows are?
Yeah, 19 million updates.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't... We used to have a saying in our company that we will not push upgrades of Windows to a new version until the first service pack comes out.
Yeah.
Well, Windows 11 did a good job.
Really?
It was solid from day one.
Now, what about, and of course, you can't answer this for every program out there. You know, one of the reasons, A, I'm cheap. Two, I don't like change. And three, well, there are a lot of reasons. But I haven't gotten a new machine, and I haven't upgraded to 11 yet. I'm afraid some of my audio software and some of these other things won't play on Windows 11. Is there any backward compatibility issue that you have seen with some of the enterprise software you guys use?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have seen incompatibilities, although it's surprisingly, it's pretty rare. So most software that will run on Windows 10 will run on Windows 11.
Well, that's good.
So you're going to see softwares here and there, especially these vertical market software. So your audio software, that may be a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's so specific.
Oh, yeah. Mine's made by the Germans. So they're like, oh, that won't run on this.
A little stricter.
Nine, it won't run. Well, we'll see what happens. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Tony Yang. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab a couple of emails, shall we?
All right.
This is from Ted in New Paltz, who says, I listen most days. I enjoy the show. It's often a high point of the day. Ted, you got to set your bar higher, buddy. You can do better. And he says, I learn something new every show. Well, that's nice, and thank you very much. Question for you, Tony. Ted says, we bought a new Dell computer at the beginning of the year. It runs Windows 11. Oh, good. We use Microsoft Edge as our browser and Microsoft Outlook new for email. We're inundated with ads, dozens each day in Outlook. It seems each keystroke using the web gets another ad. I have reviewed every setting recommended in searches on Google and YouTube with a very limited result. I have read that Microsoft built the ads programming into Windows 11 to collect revenue from the advertisers. Seems very usurious. I see numerous programs I can buy to eliminate the ads on our PC, but hate the idea of having to pay to eliminate Microsoft making money off me. I appreciate any suggestions. We had an Apple desktop before, did not have this problem. And that's from Ted in New Paltz.
Yeah, Ted, boy.
Is this true?
I think all of us share that sentiment with you. Unfortunately, all of these browser companies, including Microsoft, whether you use Chrome from Google or even Firefox for that matter, although Firefox is less intense, they all collect information. That's how they make their money. That's how they bring in all the revenue, billions in revenue. So that's not going to stop. Mm. The Microsoft Edge, I will say this about Microsoft Edge, it's a much improved version of their browser because the older ones were not very secure.
No.
The Edge is pretty good. I would recommend, Ted, that you look at Firefox. Firefox, by default, secures a lot of the ad functions within these other browsers.
Interesting.
So it doesn't collect personal information by default. It does collect some, but it's way, way, way less.
Now, it's funny. I use Chrome, okay, most of the time at work here. And it works very well. The pop-up blocker's on. I almost never get a pop-up here at work. However, there are certain websites, a weather website when I'm doing the news and I need to get weather conditions. Sometimes it'll lock up, and I've realized that it's an ad that tried to load and didn't. It was blocked properly, but it stopped the functionality of the website.
Yeah, great point there, Ray. And that's the problem. It's you can lock down these browsers, but there are things that are not going to work because they go hand in hand. So if you stop one ad from coming up, it stops the entire page from loading, and it won't load the rest of the page until the ad
comes
up on your screen. So it's one of those headaches that everybody deals with. And Ted, as far as your email is concerned, there's some email filtering services out there, but they don't work great.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. Ted's email and your response does not make me want to jump and go to Windows 11.
Yeah, no, you know, and the thing is, this isn't just a Windows 11 issue. This is an issue if you use Windows 7, Windows 10. They all are trying to get information so they can market that and sell it.
Now, if you do better, he said, and I learned something as I learned the show. New every nice, and well, that's new very much. Thank you. Question much, Tony. And for you, Ted. We bought it, says Dell computer to be computer year beginning of the year. 11 runs with, but seven. Oh, good. We use Microsoft our bridge as a browser. Soft Microsoft new Outlook for EU. We're email dated with inundated that each dozens look and out seems eat. It seems stroke each key web using the another get I rad. You'd have reviewing rec reset and recommended on Google searches on YouTube and you the with limitary lult result. Read that I have soft Microsoft the ad programming that's brought Windows into took 11 revenue collect advertise from the ad. Seems very curious. You saw I see Chris Pro numerous I could program to eliminate buy ads on ATC on our PC. Hate the idea, but hate of having to pay to eliminate pay micros eliminate making money off me. I appreciate any suggestion. We had an ask. We top Apple desk did before have this not have a problem. Ted, and that's from Bolts in Newport.
Ted, yeah. Boy, Ted, boy.
Is true.
I think all of us all that share with you. Unfortunately, all of these all company browsers, including Magnus and Clove, Microsoft, what are you? Chrome from use Chrome or Google, even Firefox for that Firefox, that matter. Firefox less is intense. They collect them all collect that information. Make their money. How they make money nowadays. That's how revenues and mostly revenue gonna stip because they stop cracked.
Ah. even though 99% of everyone does nothing that is worthy of tracking.
That's right.
All right, this email from Elizabeth. Connecting computers and smartphones and tablets to hearing aids. I want to buy a hearing aid, and I'm trying to figure out how I listen to online Bluetooth from the computer, iPad, or iPhone while still being able to hear people talking to me.
Oh.
What do you got, Tony? We have 30 seconds before the a minute before the break.
I got nothing there.
Really?
You know, some of these noise reduction, noise canceling headphones will be able to pick up human voice.
So in other words, I'm trying to understand. Elizabeth wants to listen
to the
content and then also be able to talk to people.
Yep.
In the room.
The music will muffle the sound around you.
Right.
But there are these smart headphones that will pick up human voice and allow that voice to come in. So you got to pay more money for
it.
But there are devices out there that can do that.
Digital signal processing. It's a lot of fun. But on the other hand, in my house, I put the headphones on so I don't have to listen
there
to anybody.
You go.
Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang, computers, back with your calls in a moment. Blues on the Corner, McCoy Tyner with John Schofield. That's one of the swinginest arrangements ever. It's Computers Today and Tech with Tony Yang, 800-348-255.
Market where they can
start in doubt. Do better, New York. Chris, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Howdy.
Hi. Love your show.
Thanks.
Always pick up something interesting from it, and I think you're the king of the musical buttons in between.
Thank you.
My question
with ads, dozens each day in Outlook. It seems each keystroke using the web gets another ad. I have reviewed every set
a Dell Inspiron and it's running Windows 10, which has always been really good. So obviously it's not being supported anymore. My question really is, will the computer still operate and do I have to upgrade it at all or can I continue to just use it? And other than I don't hear any great enthusiasm from Tony about Windows 11, but other than going to an Apple machine, is there any other alternative?
Hey, Chris, that's a great question.
Red Hat or one of those Unix, what do they call it? Yellow Cap?
I wouldn't recommend most people going with a Linux system. It's tough to maintain. But getting back to Windows 10, Chris, you can run that computer with Windows 10 for as long as you want.
What you're not
going to get out of it is these patches that they release. So what Microsoft have announced, when they say end of life, what it means is you don't need to stop using it. What they're saying is they're not going to release any more security patches.
Why? Why would they? What's the they only have a person, an intern, they could say, hey, do the security patch. What the heck? Just do it.
Right, but if they do that, they can't charge you another couple of $100 for the operating system.
Yeah, it's all a racket.
So you can continue using it forever. What you don't get is the security patches. So you know the risk that you take is if there's a new virus out there, Microsoft isn't going to spend time fixing that on their operating system. So as long as you can accept that risk, then you can use that indefinitely.
Mm. Go ahead,
and if
Chris.
You were a hacker, would you target Microsoft 10 users, or would you go after the new system?
Yeah, I tell you, if I was a hacker, and actually I do know this definitively, they absolutely spend time creating new hack tools that can get into your computer if you're running Windows 10, because Windows 11 is patched up.
But wait, I mean, if you have a good firewall and antivirus, does it even matter?
It does matter because there are things within the OS that the antivirus software can touch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also keep in mind that your firewall, if you're talking about a firewall that's built onto your computer,
that
offers you what's called an edge. It's a perimeter security system within the OS. If you click on something in Internet Explorer, as an example, that now is controlled by the OS. Some antivirus softwares and firewalls may catch that, but they're not going to catch everything.
Okay.
The OS, on the other hand, is the main kind of the animal that keeps a track of all of the codes within the OS itself that the other stuff can't touch. That's why it's so important that Microsoft comes out with these patches, because they have lots more resources, and they are part of the OS that these other third-party companies can't touch.
Chris, what do you think? Are you satisfied with that response?
Yeah, but I have one question, one additional question that Tony brought up now. Am I wasting my money on McAfee then?
No, absolutely not. You want to have McAfee on there. You know, you don't want to have less of a protection. You want to have more protection. So get McAfee.
Okay.
And McAfee will give you protection up to a certain level.
Yeah.
Now, what they can't do is they can't ask Microsoft to release a patch so that it works with their software.
Right.
They can only do so much now for you. So let's say they give you 90% protection, but it's not 100%.
Okay. Well, there's probably no such thing as 100% protection. Right. Chris, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number here. And we were talking about hearing aids earlier. And Jennifer writes in, AirPods, the new ones work as hearing aids. I'm not sure if they're FDA approved, but I think they have some sort of certification from audiologists. How about that? Isn't that cool? Don't be too excited.
Ray, I completely missed that. She was talking about hearing aids specifically.
Yeah, AirPods, the new ones, can be used. And according to Jennifer, some audiologists say, yeah, they'll work just fine.
Gotcha.
But I haven't vetted that information. I'm reading it. Let's go to Rensselaer. Ed, you're on.
Rockin' Ray and Tango Tony.
Hey, how you doing,
thank
man?
You for taking. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So we have a laptop that it ran Windows 10, and then we upgraded it to 11. That went smooth and fine, and shortly thereafter, not right away, so I'm not blaming 11, but our home Wi-Fi would not be picked up by the laptop. It sees all the neighbors. It sees my hotspot on my phone when I turn it on, but for some reason you can see the list of available Wi-Fi signals to pick up, but our home one disappeared.
Wow.
I'll tell you a couple of things I did. I uninstalled the driver in Device Manager and then let Windows reinstall it. That didn't fix anything. Hmm. And I also even renamed the Wi-Fi, the name of our home Wi-Fi, and it didn't see it even then. So I'm kind of confused. If you have any ideas.
Could it be that the Wi-Fi signal at his house is either extremely cutting edge and the computer doesn't see it, or it's so old that the computer no longer recognizes that frequency range?
Yeah, another interesting problem, huh? The typically...
Just to clarify, it's 3-4 years old, the Spectrum setup. Wow. So it saw it before, the laptop saw it before. Every other laptop and every other device sees it.
Okay.
But it's almost like it got removed and don't find. But your thing about frequencies might be interesting.
Yeah,
gigahertz versus 2.4 or whatever it is.
That's kind of where I was going with this, and I'm thinking whether or not maybe the router, the wireless access point that you have is older, so that Windows 11 now is incompatible with it. It just doesn't want to see it. But if you only got that device 3 or 4 years ago from Spectrum, it's got to be at least Wi-Fi 5 or 6.
Here's another thing that you can think about, and it may not work, and it may be wrong, but I know that, and because I have Spectrum, there's an app where you can, with the app, you can turn off different devices that are access to your Wi-Fi. And I know, because I've done it to annoy my children at different times. If I'll just turn it off and they can't connect. So maybe you go into the app and then you can access it.
That's a good point, right?
That's
unfortunately, we don't
think to try.
Yeah, we don't work with Spectrum routers all that much. We typically just replace that with an enterprise-grade access point. But it's definitely worth a try. I was thinking another thing, Ed, to try is create, and I do this as a typical kind of diagnosis step that I do with troubleshooting anything, is create another profile on your computer. I wonder if your profile somehow is hiding that Wi-Fi signal. If you create a brand new profile on the same computer, log into that and see if the Wi-Fi signal comes out. That's a simple thing that you can do to give it a shot.
All right.
Yeah, those are good ideas. I'll give them a shot. Thanks again, guys. Have a lovely day.
Hey, man, the next time you're on, next time Tony's on, let us know if anything worked for you.
Yeah, I sure will.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Tony Yang today. A full bumper crop of calls, tons of emails, so we'll try to move it along here. Fred's in Clifton Park. Fred, you're on.
Hello. I have two computers, an old one that had Windows 10, but I, years ago, installed Windows 7 Shell, and I loved it. The computer's old, and I did upgrade it to Windows 11, and the Windows 7 Shell still is the one functioning, and it works fine. But I got a new computer, a new laptop with Windows 11. I downloaded the Windows 7 Shell, but it won't function. I see that I downloaded it, I installed it. Is there something I'm missing to make it take over the computer?
So, Fred, I mean, for clarification here, you're talking about having the Windows 7 kind of looking interface. Is that what you mean when you say the shell?
Yes.
Got you. Okay.
Yes.
And you had this working, you said, on Windows 10, but not 11?
The Windows 10 computer was functioning as a Windows 7 shell.
Yeah.
And when I upgraded it to Windows 11, it's Windows 11 is the operating system now, but it still looks like Windows 7, which I like.
Yeah.
On the new computer, which came with Windows 11, even though I've downloaded and installed the Windows 7 shell, it's not functioning. I can see where it's a program I've downloaded and installed, but it won't function.
Yeah, boy, I'm glad you brought this up, because this happens, and it almost makes no logical sense. Sometimes software will work if you upgrade it from an older version of Windows to a newer version. But if you just put Windows 11 in there as a fresh install, and then you try to install an older piece of software, it will not install. So this is probably what you're experiencing. I would go and see if you can find the latest version of that Windows 7 shell that's made to be compatible with Windows 11 and install it on there.
Okay.
You might have an older version that's just not compatible with Windows 11. This is the same thing that I was talking to Ray earlier about his music software.
Yeah,
that it could work, or it might not work, depending. You know, it's luck of the draw sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck and thanks, Fred. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. It's Tony Yang today, and Rick is in Hudson. Rick, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. Great show as always. Us poor old senior citizens, I'm 78 years old. I got a HP 17-inch laptop. It's 10 years old. It's got to be upgraded to the new version. And my two daughters are trying to talk me into getting just a smart TV the way I use my laptop. The only thing I do is email, YouTube, Wikipedia. Is that the route I should go? I still enjoy those programs I now get? And if I get a smart TV, do they come with a keyboard?
I don't. I mean, I'm sure you could do it, but I've never seen one that you could do email and stuff on. I'm sure there's an expensive one that, you know, Sony probably has one.
Yeah. So they got these TVs that are Android based. So you could it works almost like a Chromebook. I think it's a feasible idea. I will say this. I try using it, and you can definitely connect a Bluetooth keyboard to a smart TV.
No way.
So that's possible. You can also connect Bluetooth mouse.
Is that a security issue?
You know, it's Android's Chrome web browser. It's pretty secure. That's what it uses. So there's been no major security issues that I'm aware of.
Okay.
So it's a viable path, but I always find it much easier to just use a laptop. And you can cast that on your TV if you want. laptops.
Would you say
so
that my 10-year-old HP laptop is near the end of life?
Yes.
That's a good amount of time to be using that laptop. So a 10-year-old, I would say in general, I would probably go, it's time to look at upgrades.
I'm with you there, Rick. I think my desktop is getting to be about that long in the tooth, too. And it's showing.
Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. Ton of emails. So let's take care of a couple. This is from Mary. Windows 10/11 is the subject heading. I've checked my SW products. My QuickBooks version and the Adobe CS6 suite will not necessarily run well on Windows 11, or so their sites say. I use them for my business and need them to be accurate. These products are expensive. I don't want to buy the newer versions, and I'm worried about the no security updates for Windows 10. Well, Mary, what do you think, Tony? I mean, that's a conundrum.
We have, I'll say this, Mary, to you. We have clients out there running Windows 10 because they have a legacy piece of software that either they don't want to upgrade because it's real expensive, or there's just no updates, and it will not run on Windows 11. We leave that particular device alone and just let it run that one piece of software. As long as you're not putting that laptop or computer on the internet and you're careful about what you're clicking on, you're going to be fine. And I definitely do share the concern about expensive Adobe software out there, because not only do you now have to buy the software, it's a subscription base only. So if you don't pay the monthly fee or the annual fee, it will just stop working. The older versions, it's a perpetual license.
Yeah.
You can use it forever.
Yep.
Personal call, but it will work. Just got to be a little more careful with what you click on.
Okay. This is from John. I've enrolled in a one-year extension for updates on Windows 10 that supposedly is good until next October. It was offered through the update settings page on my PC. Does that mean it's okay to continue for another year on Windows 10?
All the updates on Windows 10, I think the latest update was probably, it's got to be close to a year, year and a half now. You can pay Microsoft for a year extension. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this.
What?
Microsoft, there must be a lot of computers out there with Windows 10 at the enterprise level. So they did allow people to buy an extended one-year subscription, but it is subscription only.
I'm sorry. So they, maybe I have this wrong. I don't want to besmirch Microsoft's reputation, but it would seem to me that those people, it would almost be like, gee, be something be terrible if something happened to your computer. A little extortion. If you pay, you get updates, but the rest of us schmoes, we don't get updates. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what's happening. And it was, it was a new thing. We've never seen anything like this before, but you can pay for it. They just give you 1 year time limitation on it. They're saying at the moment that they're not going to go beyond that. So you can pay like 80 or 100 bucks to get the updates for a year. So if that's what you're talking about, then you should be fine. Other than that, are no other updates that's being released that we're aware of.
Now, of course, my legal department here at the station would say, yes, well, you don't know all the facts, Ray, so let's not say anything bad about a multi-trillion-dollar corporation that can sue the pants off you. Very quickly, let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill, you're on.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent.
So I have an email address. It's a NICAP email address that I've had for many, many, many years. When I first started using it, I was just using the email app that comes with Windows, Microsoft Windows. I don't remember why I stopped using it, but then I switched over to Thunderbird, mm-hmm. which is a Mozilla product.
Delicious.
I loved it, and I used it for a long, 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 long time until recently it started going south. And I'm now looking for another email client. I can't, but I want to keep my NICAP email address, I've had it for like 40 years. I don't want to have to start changing it now.
Yep.
I've checked out Google, Outlook. Both of them will not let me use NICAP. If I go to Google, I have to use Gmail. If I go to Outlook, I have to use Outlook.com.
Is there an open source sort of thing that would allow that, Tony? Like, you know, they have Open Office and things like that. Is there an open Outlook?
Yeah, there are many other email clients out there that you can get.
I don't know. The only other one I know of is Safari, but I was told that's for Apple computers.
Yep. You can use Outlook. I think you might be using Outlook 365. That's a web-based application. But if you get Outlook, the desktop version, that will allow you to connect to any email service provider. So you can definitely do that.
So I need a desktop version?
Yes. Yep, I know.
I don't have Windows 365. I have Windows 21.
What?
Windows? Not Windows. I'm sorry.
You're in the future, Jill.
Yes, I know. I'm using Office 21, not Office 365.
Oh, Office 2021. Yeah, so
correct.
If you got Office 2021, the software that's in there, it is the desktop version. And if that's the software that's on your computer,
it won't let me.
Yeah,
it won't let me. I've got the icon. I click on it,
yeah.
And the only thing it offers me is Outlook.com.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. Well, no, I shouldn't say tricky, but there's definitely a way, because we do this all the time. You can absolutely put a third party email provider on there, and if you Joe, if you send Station a note, I'll get one of our guys to send
you
screenshots
you. Sure.
and information on how to set that up.
Send it to voxpop@wamc.org, Jill, and I'll forward it to the guys over there. You know, it just occurs to me though, doesn't Spectrum have a web? You can log in on their site and then check your email there, right?
Yes, you can do that as well. All of these providers have web email. It is easier to use Outlook because it allows you customization that's much, much more beyond what the web software
can
do
it
for you.
But all right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's the great Tony Yang, and we'll be back. Love for sale, as J.C. Styles. 800-348-2551 is our number. Tony Yang is here today. It's tech and computers and so much fun. Let's see. I'll tell you what, we'll grab one more here for a moment, and then I'll go over to the email bag, and then we'll go back and forth. John in Johnstown. John, you're on.
Hi, thank you. So I have Macs and PCs, and I'd like to, for the PCs, which my granddaughters like to use, is there a document program that I can use so I don't have to spend a fortune on Office?
Oh, I don't think I heard that.
He wants an alternative to Office so he doesn't have to buy it. Open Office used to be a thing, right?
Yeah, it is still a thing.
Yeah?
Open Office, just Google it and download that.
It works pretty well.
It works very well, actually.
Yeah.
And the best thing is you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And there are some other ones that are not as robust. I would just Google it and try them out. But OpenOffice is that's the typical alternative.
Okay. All right, John.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Email from Andrew. Zero-click exploits. Is there anything you can tell us about zero-click exploit viruses such as Pegasus, Graphite, Extreme Rat? My understanding is that these are only used by governments, but is there any way to know if a device is infected with them? Aha!
Ooh, that is the thing that we fear the most in the IT industry. These zero-day viruses or malware out there, they remain dormant until somebody activates it. It is something that everybody worries about.
Every computer in this country probably has one, right?
That's right. You know, you just never know. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but there was many years ago, probably a decade, maybe 15 years ago, we found out that every hard drive that was manufactured by Western Digital had a bug in it.
Isn't
you remember that
special? Yes, yes.
So that's a form of a zero-day attack, and it's very hard. And what some of these anti anti-malware companies, antivirus companies are doing is they are actually going, they're going into computers and examining codes in it to try to find that. But it, boy, you know, talking about billions of lines of code.
Why don't you guys do that at Gig? Very, you can make a lot of money with
it's
that.
Very difficult. Those are for people with much, much higher IQs than we have.
That's from our listeners in Langley. Enjoy.
That's right.
Okay. John writes in, I'm a retired radio guy, and I know who John is, and you were a great radio guy, and why don't you come back and work for us, who wants to do a little audio work on my Mac. Can you recommend a free program that'll just let me do basic edits, including equalization?
I got nothing for you there, Ray.
You know,
you have something.
Well, mine is not expensive, but it's pricey-ish German software. The free one that I know people use, and John, I don't use it, so I have no idea, is GarageBand. Even though, John, you're not a band, it'll allow you to do multi-track audio and EQ and stuff like that. And I think people even do it on their phones, which is nuts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might try that. The number here is 800-348-2551. Stuart is in Poughkeepsie. Hello, Stuart in Poughkeepsie.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's nice to talk to you again, Ray.
Great to have you on.
I checked in many years ago during the pandemic.
Ah.
And I've got by the way, I've got a problem with my computer.
Okay.
Would you believe it's Windows XP Pro?
Yes.
That I got from a friend of mine many years ago. And I pulled out the external computer speaker to see if the problem was with them. No. All the stuff on the Windows XP, when I push the button, it doesn't, I get the beep, but nothing, no music to welcome me in. Or when I shut it down, there's no music either there. And I'm not sure what I can do. I'm hoping I want to get the upgrade, but the computer I've got now, it's been very faithful all these years.
Windows XP, Stuart, you win the prize. I loved Windows XP Pro. I loved it.
Yep, that was an amazing operating system.
Yep.
Stuart, when you turn on your computers, there are two different sound devices that are at work. When you first turn it on, that initial beep that you hear, that's from the built-in speaker that's on most motherboards. So it's got nothing to do with your sound card that produces the music that you hear when you have Windows loaded. So I wonder if you're just hearing that beep from the internal speaker that's on the motherboard versus what's coming out of your sound card. So I think you might have maybe a driver issue or just perhaps a defective sound card.
Would you mind speaking a little bit louder?
You know, he thinks, okay, so the beep you hear is the computer motherboard. It's not the speaker. So is it possible, Stuart, that you have turned off the audio on your desktop? If there's a little X by your speaker icon, it could be that, my friend.
Okay.
And what Tony was saying was, it's possible that you need to maybe reset the audio.
Sometimes to uninstall the driver for your sound card when you're starting it, usually takes care of the problem unless the sound card itself is defective, and that could happen.
Uh-huh.
XPs, most of the sound cards were modular units; they weren't built in. Built onto the motherboard itself.
So it could be just that went.
It could be just the sound
card.
Can
you find one that's compatible? We have to go on eBay or something to find it?
Stuart, if you reach out to us, we'll give you a dozen of those if you like. We have hundreds of them.
Stuart, good luck, man. Thank you for that one. Oh, by the way, John had written about a good free audio software. Forgot about this, and I've never actually used it, but I've heard a lot of people who have. Audacity. And that's from Peter in Saratoga Springs. I guess that's a free one that works. Let's see. Who's next? John in Falls Village. John, you're on.
All right. It's troublemaking John again.
All right. Now, no off-color remarks, John. I know, I remember what you said.
Yeah, I know. I said something yesterday. I won't do that.
Okay, man.
I know that this is a program about solving problems.
Yes.
But my question is, why? Why is there a problem? I just want to use the internet and use my tablet and just enjoy YouTube and texting and sending emails. I mean, why the problem? There's so many stinking problems.
Thank you for
and
not
I
swearing.
Hear one word.
You know what? I agree. I agree with you, John. I was happy with Windows XP Pro. All right, Tony. Very quickly,
John. You know the first of all, we want there to be problems because otherwise I'd be out of a job.
Out of business.
That's
right.
Number one. That's important.
Right.
And I will say this now: if you are just doing YouTubing, you know, browsing the web, doing some emails, Chromebook is a great alternative. It is almost buck free. Almost
Chromebook, yeah.
Chromebook.
They're not that expensive.
They're a couple of $100.
Yeah.
And all the software
all right.
on there is
well,
free.
Well, I got a new tablet.
Oh, good
I got
for
a
you.
New tablet a year ago because my previous tablet it wouldn't work. It wouldn't handle the internet anymore.
Yep. They have virtually no problems.
Yeah. You know, John, thank you. And again, thank you for being on your
thank
best
you,
behavior.
Thank you, guys.
Great job, thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Cooperstown. Everett's on the line. Everett, you're on. Go.
Ray, I want to thank you for all the different types of programs that you're involved with. You're amazing.
Thank you.
And I agree with you on upgrading Windows. It's always a learning curve, and I try to skip from like three operating systems. But I had a fire in May. And someone gave me a laptop with IBM ThinkPad with Linux Mint on it. So that kind of got me going in a different direction. But I had a problem with Gmail. I went on the computer. I changed my password after the fire. I used that password once about 3 days later, and then I didn't get on for about 2 weeks and forgot the password.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what a job to reset the password. You've got to have another email. And I always used Gmail and said, oh, they're reliable. What do I need a backup for? Well, I found out. But try to set up a second email account is a nightmare. So I finally set up another one with Google, but they would send me a temporary password, and then I'd go back to the other page, and then it would lose the information in the process, and it took me over an hour to figure out and four attempts to figure out just use the back arrow to get there to enter that little box and put the number in. Oh, how frustrating it was. So I sent a return email, so frustrated, saying that this is a job guarantee for your IT specialist, and I have several friends that are IT specialists.
Ever, I want to thank you.
My question boils down to, is there any way to contact Google? Because I'm still going. I go to Wi-Fi. I don't have internet at home because where I'm located.
Yeah.
And still, they don't recognize the new computer and the IP address. They still think it's somebody trying to hack into my account. And if I mess up the password, I got to do this all over again. And so it takes me, there's another half an hour fiddling around.
Yeah.
Is there a way to contact Google? Because I don't think they got the reply email where I was frustrated. And why don't they have different security levels so that you could choose a low security level for your password and not create all these problems? Because they just aren't recognizing this computer. They
Mercy.
Send the message after I log in. Oh, a Linux operating system logged into your email.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think, Tony? Everett's out of luck, isn't he?
Listen, I feel for you. I get it. It's frustrating. The reason why they do this is because there's so much hacking activity out there. So it's actually a way to protect the users.
Right.
But in this scenario, it's working against them. The one thing I will say is you want to use I got to look at Gmail lately. I haven't looked at it, but if they have a dual level authentication, meaning you can use your phone, it's like a banking system. You use your phone to log in instead. Then your phone, unless your phone number changes too, you got to have an alternative source to authenticate. Otherwise,
that's a good point.
Trying to get in touch with Gmail, man, good luck, because sometimes you might get a reply in a week. Otherwise, you don't hear
from
them at all.
I've never even tried. I didn't even think you could bother.
It's like people trying to recover things from Facebook account that's closed. It's virtually impossible.
Uh-huh.
Very, very hard.
Well, Everett, I don't think we've been very, very successful in helping you here. So I just hope you have a good day.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody else know, get a backup email in case you
buddy.
Have a password problem with Gmail and you're relying on them. So
thank you, sir, and thanks for the call. Let's see. Now, Kathy is in Seward. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. I feel like a dummy because all I wanted to know was Mr. Yang thinks of the software DuckDuckGo.
Oh, DuckDuckGo. You know what, Kathy, by the way, I feel like a dummy on every show, so don't feel like you're the only one. All right, Tony,
well,
what do you think?
Funnies, then.
What do you think about DuckDuckGo?
So I have to tell you, I have no idea what that is.
It's a search engine, and I've seen the ads. I've never tried it. I don't know, but
yeah.
Purportedly it doesn't.
Software, it's supposed to have... It appears to have, I'm using it, it appears to have virus filters,
okay.
It's software, and a search engine.
Right. And it started out as a way, okay, all these search engines, they track your searches.
Yep.
DuckDuckGo,
right.
The ad said, well, we don't do that.
Private.
Yeah.
So you really don't know anything about it.
I know nothing about it, and I
don't
want to lie to you. I will say this, it's something that we talked about earlier in the show, is these browsers that do not allow tracking, you're going to have issues on certain websites.
Interesting.
So, just be mindful that there may be links that don't work or the whole page doesn't come up.
Yeah.
As long as you are okay with that, and it's a fine piece of software to use.
Yeah, I haven't run into very many problems with it. And it was free. How bad could it be?
Well, I mean, I think what what their ads say, and I don't really know anything about them, mm-hmm. is that, they sell ads, but it's not based on your activity.
Gotcha.
And so that's how they make their thing. Hey, Kathy, thanks for the call. All right, we only have a minute here. Here you go, Tony, from Karen. Windows 11. Can I, should I, buy Windows 11 and install it on my 2016 Lenovo all-in-one? Is my computer too old? And that's from Karen.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before the show, about you upgrading your computer, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of the same question here.
Yep.
A 2016...
Lenovo all-in-one.
Boy, I think, you're right at that gray... You're in that gray area. It may work. Windows 11 will verify and check your computer to make sure you have all of the compatible devices on there. Otherwise, it won't allow you to upgrade. There are ways around that. If you definitely, still want to upgrade, just gotta change a couple of lines of code.
It's like, upgrading your Edsel and getting it back on the road. By the way, last thing I'll say here, this is an email from Father Tony. FYI, this coming Saturday at the Glens Falls Farmers Market, they're going to have a computer and supply recycling tent for people to drop off any computer monitors, printers, etc., Saturday, 9 a.m. till noon at the Glens Falls Farmers Market in Glens Falls, New York. Now, Father Tony, I hope you're telling the truth because I don't know this to be a fact. But you know what? If it's not actually happening, you blame Father Tony.
Well, how many truckloads can I bring? What's the limit?
You take that up with the Glens Falls Farmers Market. Hey, Tony Yang, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you so much. That was fun.
And thanks to Gig for donating those Giants tickets for the drawing during the fun drive.
We're glad we could help.
Very popular. Support comes from Capital Region Classical at Union College, opening its season with the British brass ensemble Sceptra in a program celebrating Gershwin and his influences, Sunday, October 19th, 3 p.m., CapitalRegionClassical.org. Mountain Laurel Waldorf School, New Paltz, focused on clear thinking, balanced emotions, empathy for all, and a love of meaningful work. Now enrolling parent-child through 8th grade. Open house at Puppet Show, October 25th, 10 to noon, MountainLaurel.org. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Fulton Landing, New York, protecting the forests, wetlands, shorelines, and ridges that protect Lake George permanently. Projects, events, and news at LGLC.org. Once again, thanks to Tony Yang of Gig Computers for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls and the emails. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. We'll do it again soon. Riley Phillips is our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, you know, with any luck at all, and I didn't send any reminders, the gardeners should return. We'll see you at 2:00.